I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
2017 Seahawks season has been over for just under a week, and we've finally decided to pull ourselves up off the sofa, the settee, the seats, wherever you want to call it, and get together and look back on what was the season 2017 for our and these Seattle Seahawks. To do that, myself, Stuart Court, is joined by one of the usual other two in Mr. Ross Bow. How are we, sir?
Very good, mate. It's a shock that it's me and not Adam for a change.
Yes, we're changing things up, making it a three-man band this week. The first person to be backers on the Patreon at the full whack, £12 a month. And we've been saying for about 6 weeks, I think, we've finally managed to line up diaries and all that. And we welcome on the British voice on the 12th man fan jam show, Mr. Matt E. War. How are we, sir?
Good evening. How are you? You well?
I'm not too bad. Did I get all those words in the right order?
12-man fan jam show. Once it flows off the tongue, it becomes really an easy thing to say. But other than that, it's a nightmare. We had a big row about it when we first picked it because I didn't like the way it worked. But yeah, 12-man fan jam show.
Yeah. Is that like what you... Is that a counting sheet? You just keep saying 12-man fan jam
show. 12-man fan jam show. 12-man fan jam show. The thing, I have to say, this is surreal because I'm doing a podcast and I'm not doing it at 3 in the morning. So right now, the universe is completely wrong for me. I'm wide awake as opposed to being half asleep, which is way I normally record.
I think Stu and Adam have been burning the midnight oil interviewing our American guests this season.
It's that's possibly the worst thing about supporting a West Coast team is that when we have to get Seattle people on, it's 8 hours behind. But yeah, obviously we're going to quickly touch on what was week 17 for your Seattle Seahawks and then look back on how all the stat sheets and everything else and how it all felt in 2017. If you have been listening for the last 3.5 months, you have a fair idea how this is going to sound. But yeah, last week the Seattle Seahawks season ended in familiar 2017 fashion, losing 26-24 at home to the Arizona Cardinals, making it a 4-4 record at CenturyLink, what used to be an unbreachable fortress has become all of a sudden just a bit sloppy on the side, and it all comes back as it always seems to for the 2017 Seahawks to the peg of Mr. Blair Walsh. Ross, sorry, I got so used to doing podcasts with Adam.
This comes naturally now.
Ross, Ross, he missed yet another game clinching one, but as Adam's pointed out a few weeks ago, it's not really his fault because after Washington, he shouldn't be in the position he's been in for the last 8 weeks.
Well, no, exactly. We've pointed out numerous times that there's plenty of guys that could have bought in for tryouts and just guys off the street that could have at least attempted these kicks. It's the most fitting way for the season to end with the Blair Walsh miss. And if him missing has led to Arians walking away because he won the game in Seattle, then I'm fine with that. That's fine with me.
Trade-off. Yeah.
It does seem and sound like that Arians' decision was made quite a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it just seemed like a bit more surprising.
Yeah. Although he basically has retired 2 years ago.
The last 2 years.
Matty, 2017 had its fitting send-off, didn't it, last Sunday?
Well, absolutely. I think it had exactly the right send-off. It had a sort of half-hearted game, which comes down, you know, the first quarter, nobody shows up. We have an abysmal first half. And then we close it out with a miss. To be fair on him, though, he did change it up because he went wide left this time. So, you know, you can't say he's nothing if not consistent. He's been consistently awful since the moment he sort of walked out. But again, I have to say, I can't place all of this on Blair Walsh. No. I think our whole season as such has been one of dealing with injuries, you know, insufficient depth in certain key areas, and just not, you know, taking advantage of those opportunities when they put themselves forward. If you put yourselves in the lap of your kicker to win you games, then I'm afraid sometimes you're going to lose, and that's what happened to us.
Yep. It's quite a weird stat come out of it where obviously Blair Walsh only attempted one field goal of over 50 yards in 2017 and missed, but also exactly what happened in 2016 where Hauschka only attempted one field goal over 50 yards, which is quite strange. You're putting a lot of pressure on a kicker, on the offense, to keep your kickers within 50 yards, but then how should you go to Buffalo? And, yeah,
50 yards is 50-50. But when you're at the 50-yard line, I haven't got a problem with them missing 50 yarders, but I have a bigger problem with that with the stats closer to the goal. Yeah. That's why I have a bigger problem.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, last Sunday, Russell Wilson finished off with 2 touchdowns on an 18 for 29 day, 220 yards, and sacked a further 3. He, for once in 2017, didn't lead the team in rushing with 5 rushes or 5 scrambles, as I'm sure they were, for 36 yards. On 2017 season, Mr. Russell Wilson finished with 61.3 completion percentage, 3,983 yards, 33 touchdowns, and one or two more he got on the ground. Three more on the ground. So he actually had 37 touchdowns of the 38 touchdowns the Seahawks scored. And it's the year of Russell Wilson. We kind of entered the year expecting him to be the focal point, but it took a whole other kind of dramatic level of meaning, didn't it, this year, Matt?
You can place a lot on Russell Wilson's shoulders. I'm not sure you can place an entire season on Russell. It seems unfair, somewhat. Yeah. I mean, the kid did everything. I mean, I half hoped he was going to run out on the field against that Cardinals game and just push Blair Walsh over and kick it, because that would have been the perfect end, really, for him. The fact that he didn't make first all round Pro Bowl either, did he? Was snubbed. So I'm like, you know, what does the kid have to do? What more do you want him to do, people?
It is quite something, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, the amount of pressure he must have felt to just carry this team. Like you said, all but one touchdown he scored this season. That's mad. There can't be any other team that's even close to that, having that sort of one player lead your entire offense.
No, I don't think it's ever been done before. And it put him in the conversation for the MVP. He's probably going to be top 5 at least in that voting. What's been kind of a weird 2017 season. But yeah, it was just how it has been all season long. The rush game, as we said, did not do a lot yet again. Mike Davis led the team with 48 yards on 10 carries, 16 more receiving. Doug Baldwin led the team with 4 catches on 5 targets, 90 yards, and both Seahawks touchdowns. As you said, it was just a massive, just everything 2017 in 3.5 hours of blur on last Sunday, wasn't it, Ross?
Yeah, it was summed up for me the final couple of minutes. Luke Wilson wide open, could have walked in for a touchdown, dropped the ball, and then Blair Walsh misses. That is our season in a nutshell.
Yep. Yes, so Russell Wilson's 2017 season is the 3rd all-time in a single season for passing yardage. The first and second guys, do you want to hazard a guess as to who?
One's got to be Hasselbeck, surely.
No, first was 2016 Russell Wilson, and second was 2015 Russell Wilson. The last 3 years are the top 3 passing yardage seasons for the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, and 2014 was 10th, so he's got 4 of the top 10 all-purpose single-season passing records for them. As we put on Twitter a few days ago at Seahawkers UK, he's the clear, and as the voting showed, he's the clear offensive MVP for 2017, isn't he, Matt?
Well, he is, but you've got to remember he's far too short to play as a quarterback in the NFL. He's not good enough, and he shouldn't have been drafted at all. Yeah, of course he is. But, I mean, the thing is, you just got to look at the holes around him. That's the problem. This is where we've got to start focusing our rebuilding energy on the holes around him. But for once, we can all sit here and say very happily, we have a brilliant quarterback. So tick that box and tick it all day long and celebrate it. But let's put some stuff around him now.
And like what some people are trying to do, we will not and should not trade him, which is just the absolute biggest nonsense I've ever read. Just trolls, I think, at this point. But yeah, he is, I mean, as the voting showed, I can't remember what it was, but he is the MVP. I mean, the vote he got, I can't find it, 86% of the vote, and he was alongside Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham, and other, and no one had an other out there outside of them three, so 86%, and it's quite, as we said before we started recording, it's quite weird it wasn't higher, Russ.
Yeah, I mean, fair shouts to Doug getting a bit of love there, because he worked his ass off for the yards he got this season. But yeah, it's far and away Russell Wilson. There's no one else that even comes close on our team to offensively making any sort of dent in our year.
Yeah, but Doug Baldwin is the 4th consecutive season where he's led the team in receiving yards. But obviously this year with Jimmy Graham's 10, didn't lead the team in touchdowns, but he did have a year where he had 75 catches for 991 yards. And what people clamour for and a prototypical wide receiver one, we've got a wide receiver one in Mr. DB89, haven't we, Russ?
Yeah, massively. He's one of the best in the league. You look at who led the league in receptions, Jarvis Landry, with almost 35-40 more receptions but less yards than Baldwin. He made the most of every ball he got, and he sometimes frustrated me with his little hop backs and spins and dance moves he does, but just he fights for every single yard he gets. And some of the touchdowns he's had this season, I can't keep saying that, but he is Steve Smith 2018. His footwork is incredible.
Yeah, I think as he's said last couple of weeks, he really does enjoy when DBs press against him. He just embarrasses them and puts them on gifts for the next few weeks. Matty, but he is quite clear, far and away. I mean, the moves and decisions the teams have appeared likely to make in the upcoming free agency, the clear number one guy in the wide receiver room. Matt.
Absolutely, and there is no competition for him. I mean, I have to disagree a little bit, Ross. I do like his little sort of dancing around. I mean, obviously, providing it goes in the right direction at the end of it, you know, I grant you that. But I think he's always trying and pushing for that extra yardage after catch. He's always trying to go that extra part, and I think he's a safe pair of hands for me. You know, if I see him catch a ball, if I on the sidelines, I'm pretty sure it's inbounds. If there's a third down moment, I want Baldwin to have that ball because I think he's going to make it. So for me, he's the safest pair of hands in the field, even safer certainly than Jimmy Graham, who, let's face it, for the early part of the season was having, you know, butterfinger dropsy moments all over the place. Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't a perfect season for him, but I think, no, definitely Doug Baldwin, star player.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham was the other guy on the voting thing we put out on Twitter a few days ago, where he did finish the season with 10 touchdowns, which was second in the league behind Antonio Brown. He only, though, match that up with 521 yards. It's the lowest yards per catch and season output from Jimmy Graham in his NFL career, and it's not what the people who want him to stay could have needed when with his contract up, and he's probably likely on the first aquaplane out of VMAC, isn't he, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah,
essentially yes. I don't think he's not going to stay around. I don't think, no. And I think quite rightly so. He's got to find a team now. I mean, it's a shame really because whilst he was with us, I don't think we really got into the groove with him until this year and until the very last part of this year. So he's had so much time here where, you know, those expectations were so high when he arrived and they just weren't lived up to because that's not who we were. That's not how we were playing. No. We were still trying to find our running game. We were still, you know, we were developing that and going with that. So he lost out in the early part of his tenure with us. But of course, once we lost our running game, which clearly we have this year, that's where he starts to come into his own a wee bit. But yeah, he's out. He's not going to be coming back, I'm pretty sure of that.
Jimmy Graham, if he does leave, I think while we're watching the AFC Sunday game, the Bills and Jags, I think we could be seeing him land in one of those two places next year, potentially Jacksonville, with the amount of cap space they're going to have. Jimmy Graham will leave as the 15th all-time leading Seahawks receiver with 2,048 yards in just 43 games, and he does leave as the Seahawks' all-time leading tight end in touchdowns with 18, and he did that when his leg imploded. So despite all the issues and complaints and groans he gets, that's not bad. 2,100 yards in just 40-odd games, Ross.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, isn't it?
And people wanted more. It's
Yeah, it's mad.
It's very weird.
I've questioned his I've never questioned his ability, but maybe his involvement in the offense at times this season. But yeah, you can't argue with that production. 10 touchdowns for a tight end that barely plays between the 20s. It's phenomenal. We finally figured out how to use him, and it's a shame that he's going to walk now. But yeah. 31. This is going to be his last contract. He's going to want to get as much money as possible, and I don't think we're in a position to do that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Yeah, so that is the offense. Moving on to the defense, last week they kept the team in the game, but again, Matt didn't get to the quarterback with enough regularity. Is that fair?
That's absolutely right. And I think if you pass rush, if you're just not. Aggressive enough, I suppose. I want to be careful because if you get too aggressive, you get penalties, and then we start going backwards anyway. But I do think that there does seem to be a bit of a an issue with getting to that quarterback and putting him on his backside. There are flashes of brilliance. I can't think what game it was now. I mean, I think the Houston game was a pretty good one, but there are flashes of brilliance in there, but it's surrounded by mediocre, and that's a problem for me.
Yeah, on the 2017 season, the team had a season without a double-digit sack master. Frank Clark leading the way with 9 sacks ahead of Michael Bennett with 8.5. Then you click the tackle tab on Pro Football Reference, and it's a whole world of pain where Bobby Wagner gets 97 tackles and 36 assisted. His solo number of 97 is 26 more than the guy at number 2, which is KJ Wright, who then has 15 more. The guy at number 3. So yeah, Bobby Wagner, as we can see on the Twitter poll we did as well, where the options were Bobby Wagner, Frank Clark, Earl Thomas, and other again got 0 mentions or comments. But Bobby Wagner got 84% with Frank Clark getting 9.
Who is this other? This man called Other.
I don't know. Like he
sounds good.
He's not very popular. but yeah, Bobby Wagner was like Whistle Wilson, and like we're going to get onto the rookies in a sec. He was the clear number 1 for the 2017 Seahawks, wasn't he, Russ?
Yeah, he's the best linebacker in the league. I've said this since we started this podcast. He missed one tackle all season. That's phenomenal. He makes so much of a difference. Even in that game where he was slightly hobbled, he was still making a couple of tackles and helping out. He maybe shouldn't have played, and someone fully fit should have played instead, but you can't really argue with that desire that he wants to play and wants to be on the field.
No, yeah, I think that was slightly a step too far, but I think that's more coaches putting way too much trust into him. But it's been a case for a couple of years now, but this year cemented him at the top as a top dog at his position and possibly in the Seahawks defense, Matt.
Absolutely. And without him, we'd be absolutely screwed beyond all belief. No, I mean, he's the linchpin, he's the central point now, really, which is strange because for so long we hear a lot about the secondary and about, you know, Sherman and Chancellor and Thomas and the rest of them. But actually, take those guys out through injury, sadly, and you end up with that really need for a strong front line. And we've got that with him. So absolutely deserved all the accolades he's got at the end of the season because he is phenomenal.
Yeah, with the Seahawks defense in 2017, as much as the pass rushes didn't get to the quarterback as they have in years past, obviously a big part of that was the absence of Cliff Avril since week 3 or 4. And it appears that's going to be a long-term one with retirement seeming very likely for him and Cam Chancellor. The team did only have 3 interceptions on the season, 2 from Justin Coleman and the pick 6 against the Texans by Earl Thomas. That is a massive part and a massive thing to point to if you have any issues or gripes with the defense this year, isn't it, Russ? That they haven't, I mean, a few years ago, they were getting 14, 15. I mean, Sherman was doing that by his one.
Yeah, that was our whole philosophy, wasn't it? Get the ball. You can't win if you haven't got the ball. Make sure you get the ball back. And there's been so many this season that have just dropped short, or the player hasn't been on his heels rather than going forward for the ball. And I mean, Shaq could have had 4 or 5 himself, but he finally got one at the end of the season. I think it's a learning curve for a lot of that new secondary and playing together like McDougal and Shaq and even bringing Maxwell back. It's an interesting group going forward. I'm quite excited about what the future holds for the secondary, but yeah, it's that needs to be improved next year, definitely.
Yeah, Byron Maxwell the last 2-3 weeks found his sea legs after a few years of having seasickness, didn't he, Matt?
Yes, but I think, I mean, again, you know, you look at the performance, and I mean, first of all, you can't say that they didn't have enough time on the field to make an impact because
they were on there.
I'd love to know what the split was on our offensive defense on the field, but they certainly had enough opportunity to be impactful. But I do think that, I mean, some of our tackling looked pretty suspect. I mean, I know we've got some tackles, we've talked about tackles, but the actual tackling itself in the open field and stuff, some of that looked really suspect too, as if somehow we'd forgotten about, you know, we'd released a video in the last 2 years about tackling, you know, successfully, and apparently we'd forgotten all of that. So I do think there's some learning curves. I think, you know, some new management, some new leadership in, you know, in that locker room is going to be coming through soon, I think. And that will be a welcome return. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to be very thankful for and a lot to look forward to. I think Shaquille especially is a star for that area. Yeah. But there's plenty to come, more to come.
I would like to admit a mistake, as I've just realised my mistake. The tab I had highlighted then was actually defensive interceptions for touchdowns. Yeah. So we actually did have 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So wasn't that bad, actually, was it? They ignore all the last 5 minutes of talk.
But yeah, that middle of the pack, though, still, I assume.
Yeah, it's still not great. But yeah, also on Twitter, the third option we give you guys to vote on was the Seahawks Rookie of the Year. Obviously, a lot, almost the butterfly fly onto the chest for the butterfly effect that was the 2017 season started with one of the rookies not being able to control a ATV, quad bike, whatever it was. Malik McDowell having his rookie season, it sounds quite likely it could be more than that moving forward. And then after that, though, the second round with Ethan Posich was one of the options. Chris Carson, seventh round pick, showed glimpses for a month or so before he had his season ended. Nas Jones, the third round pick, made an impact, had one of the interceptions. He had three pass breakups, two sacks and 10 tackles. But the main guy for the rookies, as Matt's just mentioned, Russ was the guy from UCF and the guy with the pretty cool story from his twin. Shaq Griffin's becoming a pretty cool story all by his one, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. He's a proper player. He's taken to this offense and this defense, sorry, and he's kind of slipped straight in, and it took him a couple of games, I think, to really get used to it. But since that, he's been phenomenal. And to finally get his first pick of the season in the last game, there was no way Earl was taking that ball from him when they were both closed down. Yeah, he was making sure that was his ball. And he's just his coverage of wide receivers. He was all over Fitzgerald. Fitz got his because he always will do, but Shaq was with him the entire time.
Yeah, he just most certainly looked the part, doesn't he, Matt?
Yeah, totally. But what a great trainer, what a great teacher you're going to have if you're being mastered by people like Sherman and Thomas and those around him. So I think he's completely in the right place. I think he's one of our stars to watch for the future. I just hope he doesn't let it all go to his head too much in that sense. I want him to stay hungry. I want him to stay alert. I want him to stay, because I like the fact that teams were playing on him, thinking that he was an easy touch on that side, and he's not. So it was like, keep throwing it that way, and he's going to get his as well. You know, I was so upset with Chris Carson's, because he was such promise there's as a runner. I mean, everything there is so cruel sometimes to sport. But Shaq's definitely had a season for it.
Yeah, all the Sherman comparisons do go quite in depth as well. Richard Sherman, his rookie year in 2010, in 16 games, he made 10 starts, had 4 interceptions, 17 pass breakups, pass defended, 1 forced fumble, 47 tackles, and 8 assisted. Compare that to what Shaq Griffin did in 2017. In 15 games and 11 starts, he had 1 interception, 15 pass breakups, 50 tackles, and 1 sack. That is eerily similar and bodes well for the future. And I think Pete Carroll, Chris Richard, Sherman, Thomas, whenever his name come up, it was the sponge was the word that always come up when referencing him, and how he's took to the leap from UCF to the NFL. So it's going to be quite exciting to see what the second year Shaq looks like. Any other names to bring up? And no, obviously the three guys who have won our votes were Russell Wilson, Shaq Griffin, and Bobby Wagner. But anyone else outside the guys we haven't mentioned, Matt?
No, I mean, I wouldn't. No, no one of those sort of magnitudes, I don't think. But I think, you know, it's more indicative of the fact that these are three very standout players, because we're not talking about everyone else, and that's because of the mediocrity that's in the rest of the team. Do you know what I mean? Mm. These are standout players in a team that has been relatively mediocre this year, and that's the problem. That's the issue we've got to look at. But yeah, I've got no arguments with those three.
No, yeah, Ross.
Nope, same again, but some honourable mentions definitely to Frank Clark and Justin Coleman. They've definitely played their part. Coleman especially. We won a trade with the Patriots, and
yes,
that's something to be proud of. Yes. Coleman looks like a real corner, a definite slot corner.
Can't quite remember who we traded to the Patriots, though, Russ.
No one.
It might be his third team this year as well, I don't know.
He's a Niner.
That's true. Yeah. All told, though, this team does have the pieces and parts which are going to go down as Ring of Honor Seahawks. Oh, regardless, Doug Baldwin now sits fourth in all-time Seahawks receiving yardage and third in all-time Seahawks touchdown scorers, behind Darryl Jackson, Steve Largent, and Joey Galloway into some of them. Obviously, the next up for the Seahawks is free agency. We've already touched on Jimmy Graham. That's a resounding... He's he's out of there, isn't he? It's a resounding yes to that. He's exiting the building.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But I think it's only because we can't afford to keep him. I mean, the thing is, if somehow we can miraculously keep him, yeah, of course we'd keep him. And I wouldn't mind trying to, you know, now that he seemed to got into his groove, I'd love to be able to keep him, but we just can't afford it. I mean, ultimately, if we are going to trade, I want to get some tight ends with some blocking capability. Do you know what I mean? I want a bit more of a all-rounded approach for a tight end.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Russ.
Yeah, unfortunately, he is going to go because, I mean, $10 million for a 31-year-old tight end, as good in the red zone as he is, we can spend that money a bit more evenly across the team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, we'll just quickly run through, though, some of the other big-name free agents, just if you would keep them and if you think they're going to be kept. We'll start with one of two guys with the same surname, Mr. Sheldon Richardson. He made all the sounds on exit day Monday, whenever it was, that he thinks he's going to and would like to stay. His 2017 cap hit was just $2.5 million. That is probably going to spike quite dramatically. Do you think he stays, and what's your ballpark guess for contract and length, Russ?
I definitely think he is going to stay. He is going to get paid, and he's going to get paid a lot of money. I think most of that, well, if not all of that Jimmy money, is going to go straight to Sheldon. So I'm a bit hazy on my defensive tackle kind of cap numbers, but a lot of money for a long time, I think. He's only 27, and if Bennett goes and if Averill goes as well, that line needs a bit of veteran leadership, and Sheldon can bring that.
Yeah, I agree. Matt?
I think he'll stay. I think he wants to get paid, and I think he will get paid. As far as the money is concerned, I mean, what is he on, 2.5 million a year type thing? Is that the average earnings or something?
Last year was, yeah.
So, yeah, times that by four. That's about the sort of, do you know what I mean? That's the sort of level you're going to get him at.
Yeah, I think so. I think a 4-year deal paying 28 million, maybe. No, yeah, 28, 30 million for 3-4 years, I think.
Four years.
He's not going to get Clay Campbell money, because I think that's what some sort of deal he would get on the open market. But I think I didn't think he would, but the noises the team are making, the noises he made last week suggests that the deal is coming. The other guy called Richardson, Paul Richardson, made $1.178 million this year. It seems like he might stay at not the figure that appeared likely, say, at Thanksgiving, Matt, but do you think he stays?
I'd like him to. Again, I think whilst we've been surrounded by mediocrity, as I say, these are areas which we can polish. And I guess, again, I think this player is another one. So I think, I think he stays. I haven't got a clue on how much he'll get paid at all. But I think he'll stay, and I think it will be another 3 or 4 year. We'll see how we get on with him. But I think he'll be good to have around.
Yeah, he's still only 25.
Yeah, you know, loads of time.
In the market, so he is still relatively... He's still younger than how old Kevin Norwood was when we picked him in the fourth round a few years ago. So, Ross, Paul Richardson?
Yeah, I'll definitely keep him.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to the players that have left us in that position, Golden Tate's on $6 million a year. That would be a...
Don't think he gets that much.
No, but that would definitely be my upper. I mean, Mohamed Sanu 6.5, Robert Wood 6.5, Edelman 5.5, somewhere around 5 to 6 million, I think I'd be happy with.
But Golden Tate gives a hometown discount, doesn't he? Memory serves.
Next up is Mr. Luke Jokel. I think he's certainly gone. I don't think he's played match the 8 million he got, and I don't think his knee deserves the 8 million he may want again, Matt.
Gerard Chuck, all the best.
Yeah.
All the best.
Moving on then, I think, because Ross made his feelings quite clearly known before they even finished my sentence. So, next up is our favourite man, our favourite running back, the Seahawks future Hall of Famer, Miss Eddie Lacy, Ross.
Fat man, Lacy.
He's gone. He should have already been back his locker.
No, I think he's gone. He's far... Surely he's gone, I think, is more...
He should never be seen in the Seattle area again.
No.
The trouble is, with the rate at which he runs, it will take him 6 months to get out of the Seattle area. That's the problem. He's already started walking to the airport now, and he still hasn't made it. So, Fat Man Lacey's on his way out. See you later.
Yeah, there's a lot of China food places between VMAC and...
get a donut.
CTAC as well. Next up, Bradley McDougall. Now, I think he might be someone they try and chance their arm at getting a fifth, sixth round compo pick in 2019. I think they might push Delano Hill up into a more prominent role in 2018. I think he might cash in on what was a pretty impressive, especially the last 6-7 weeks of the season. I think he might be outs. I think he just might get a bit too rich for the Seahawks, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, certainly he's on the up, he's on the climb, and I think that's, it's always a question there is whether you can grab a player at that point or whether, you know, you just have to let him go because you don't have the finance, cap space, or whatever to keep him. So I think, 75 combined tackles, 51 in total. I mean, I would say if we can get him, but no idea how much you're going to get him for, but he's on the up.
Yeah, so I think he's one of those players where they're going to have a limit. I mean, really, they got him on the cheap last year, and he's made the most of that by putting himself in the shop window the last couple of months, Russ. But he's probably off skiing, isn't he, Mr. McDougall?
Yeah, unfortunately so, yeah. His play this season has been fantastic, replacing Cam and even Earl earlier in the year. He's filled in perfectly, and I'd love to keep him around, but we're already paying Cam $12 million, and if he comes back, we can't afford to put more money into that position with Cam and Earl already earning a fortune themselves.
Yeah, and Earl's probably going to get paid or something this year, so it's going to be interesting. Luke Wilson appears like he may stick around just because we might not have another tight end on the books. Nick Vanette showed glimpses, but you can't really ask him to go from TE3 to TE1. So Luke is going to keep repping Canada for the Seahawks, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's going to hold that Canada flag proud. I think the interesting thing with Luke is that I think everyone shifted their attention completely to Graham for obvious reasons. I mean, clearly. But that means that in actual fact, I think a lot of attention, a lot of time has been taken away from Luke, you know, getting the balls and the amount of snaps he gets. So actually, he may, you know, this may be good for him. But I think with Graham certainly on the way out, Wilson doesn't go anywhere.
No, I think I'd agree, Russ.
Yeah, definitely staying. What did he sign last year? A 1 year, like 1.2 million, deal.
1.8.
Although he does have to go back to Canada to get his visa renewed, so yeah, Trump might not let him in. So you never know.
That'd be funny.
Very, very, very strange. But yeah, a few of the names which are fluttering around on the Seahawks, RFA list as well, restricted free agents, whether they have to put a round tender on them, and then if a team matches, they get that round pick. Deion Jordan, Justin Coleman, and Mike Davis are the three. They are all likely to get tendered and get a pretty impressive bump in salary, Ross. Or 600,000 all three of them got last year.
Yeah. Am I mad to think I'd put a first rounder on Deion Jordan? Because he was drafted there. Why not?
Ritty certainly can't put a first round. I think he's highest is second round, I think.
I'd slap him with that immediately. Once he got his knock the rust off, he looked like a player again. And he seems to have, he wants to stay by the sounds of things, and I think we can definitely get him to stay. Same with Coleman and Davis as well. They've all performed well above their expected levels, I think, this year.
Yeah, Matt?
Yeah, always. If you always compete and you actually come up with the goods, then you should be rewarded. I think those three should be rewarded.
Yeah, okay. Well, the other names are floating around, like Oren Maxwell, Drew McDonald, Quinton Jefferson, Joey Hunt, Garrison Smith, Thomas Rawls is a restricted free agent. That could be an interesting one to watch. Just gonna be keeping on these more draft edges as anything else. But Byron Maxwell's probably the best placed of the other lot to be a starter in 2018, isn't he, Matt?
Well, Rawls, I mean, if you say Rawls is up,
he's restricted, a restricted free agent.
He's restricted, isn't he? That's a shame. I was looking forward to get rid of him.
Well, the thing is, Collins got a starting spot somewhere. Rules will get a starting job somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. I mean, the thing is, for me, Rules just doesn't have the awareness of where gaps opening up. He just runs into people. He's like a firecracker, and he doesn't have any guidance whatsoever. Once he's got the ball, he'll run in that direction. If he hits something, he'll go down. And normally, he ran into the back of Russell Wilson the other game. I'm over him, totally over him. But yeah, I think, you know, keep him. Put him up, do something with him. the more we keep, the more mediocre we stay. So be careful. We want to change some of these people up, do you know what I mean?
I do think Thomas Wolf is gone. I think Wills and Lacey are out of here. When Pete Carroll talked about the running back position earlier in the week, he did not mention either of those two, but did mention McKissick Carson and Mike Davis. Wider NFL free agency. Obviously, the cap is an issue and is a real thing. Matt, is there any player position you'd like the Seahawks to go and get someone for or from?
What, Sorry, would you say position wise?
Positional player, if you got
running anyone. Back. Well, anyone for running back, we've got to get a running game in this team. I'm sorry, you've got to have a running game. Yeah. And so I don't care where you go and get him from. I don't, but as long as he's not 55 pounds overweight and has to go through, you know, tons and tons of diets and gets paid a load of cash for just not eating. You know, whoever it is, find me somebody who can run the damn rock. That's all I want.
Carlos Hyde's out of contract.
Carlos Hyde is getting a lot of comments and links to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I'll take him.
He's in one of my dynasty teams, so I'll be quite happy to actually enjoy him getting me points in my dynasty team instead of I think Carlos Hyde could be the big name to watch. I think it just seemed like it sounded like they are gonna address it in both free agency and the draft. Any player or position for you, Ross, in free agency?
I'd be looking at the wide receivers. There's a lot of players there that can make a difference, and the top three names probably Jarvis Landry, Allen Robinson, Sammy Watkins. They can all add something to our receiver core. Maybe not Sammy Watkins, but the other two certainly. Landry and Baldwin would never drop a ball.
Yeah, with Landry, we wouldn't get many yards.
That's true, 4 yard catch, but
the thing with Allen Robinson is the fact that he's missed all of this year with the torn knee, so that could really bring him back. The guy at wide receiver for me is always going to be Josh Gordon, who is an exclusive rights free agent. So I'm not sure how he gets tendered and how he becomes available, but that could be a name to watch, because it depends how Hugh Jackson wants to ruin that team next year, if he wants to get rid of Josh Gordon or keep him around and just waste him with a bad quarterback again. It will be interesting to watch. Obviously, it's not too sure how much cap space the Seahawks going to have. It does appear that, though, the 2019 compo pick is going to be a full house of Seahawks, with all the guys likely to get deals paying quite a bit elsewhere. Since the game last Sunday, obviously, there's been a lot of inaction, but a lot of talk about certain people. Obviously, up until a few hours ago, there was worry and rumour surrounding the future of John Schneider, but after the Green Bay Packers approached the team about making him their new general manager and replacing Ted Thompson, who's been moved sideways or backwards. I'm not too sure what that front office looks like with him now. Are you surprised that he's still the Seahawks general manager, Matt, or are you relieved or not really at first?
I am fast, obviously. John Schneider's done a great job for us. In the front office, we should all still applaud the fact of what they've been able to achieve since 2012, you know, with the whole of that draft onwards. But I think what I would say is this. Any person, any member of the organisation, whether it be John Schneider, whether it be Earl Thomas even, if anyone who doesn't want to be a Seahawk anymore, get out. Because I don't want people in an organisation who generally don't want to be here. If you'd want to go to join the Packers, he can go. I don't care. We'll find somebody. We'll keep drafting. We'll do what we need to do. But his contract, I believe, specifically left no. He made it quite clear when he signed his latest one that there was no way that he could get out to join the Packers. Obviously, this option comes up. They've asked permission. They've been refused. As far as I can see, he's staying put. But if he doesn't really want to be here, release him. Get rid of him. Because you can't have people around you who aren't 100%, you know, behind the team, wanting to be here.
Yeah, I do think, as we said before we start recording, I do think the one place you can't have that self little bit of doubt is the guy making decisions and making the financial decisions that he's going to be making and has made over the last few months. So I do think he's all in. I think if they'd have accepted it, it's very rare a person or a player says no to an opportunity somewhere else in any sport or any walk of life. It's not rare you turn down another job, especially a job like that, which he's quite openly said it is his dream job. But I do think he's all in. I think it's a big time off season for him as well, with all the new blood and fresh blood, and he's just got a hit on the limited amount of picks we're going to have in the 2018 draft as well. But he's surprised that the Packers give up so readily and easily. That's possibly the biggest surprise to me, is that 30 hours ago we were talking about John Schneider maybe leaving, and now they've already got a new GM, Ross.
I'm a little bit surprised, yeah, because like you said, that was always mentioned as his dream job, and he would like to go back there eventually. But and also before we start recording, that job's not going to come up again for a long time, probably before Schneider's maybe past his prime as a GM. But yeah, I'm happy that he's here. I'd like us to kind of bring Scott McLuhan in as well to help with this draft, because he worked wonders before. He can kind of maybe help out as a like a, just a helper role basically for this draft, and that could be good. But I saw someone say on Twitter that one of the things that could have stopped Schneider leaving is Rodgers is coming out of his prime now, and he's still going to be great, obviously, because Aaron Rodgers, but he's got a quarterback in place who's about to hit his prime as a quarterback. So you'd be mad to walk away from that.
Yeah, and he's got to remember as well that, you know, we're picking 18 this year, aren't we? Or was it next year? It was 18. Yeah, 18. So, 21. So that's the highest we've had since when? 2012, 2011? So 2012. So in that case, you know, he's got a great opportunity to start getting and rebuilding and doing a bit of a rebuild job. If I was going to stay put.
If Blair Walsh had made that kick, we'd be picking 21st. So thanks, Blair.
Yeah,
he's good for something, you know. Give him some credit.
Yeah, there's also very likely we won't be picking at 18. We'll the team looking for the QBOTF, Baker Mayfield, please fall to 18, sir, so we can get the team to call up and trade back with. But yeah, I'm all for Schneider staying. And like I say, I'm quite surprised that the Packers only give it one try and they've kind of moved on so readily. Suggests maybe it wasn't as serious. It just kind of seen, testing the waters for a run further on down the line. Obviously, the inaction comes, and as I said on Facebook, I said on Twitter, just because nothing's happened yet, I do think something will change with the Seahawks. Tom Cable and Darryl Bevell and Chris Richard, for some, are still in their jobs, and all the talk of change. There hasn't been much change in positions where you'd expect the biggest positive impact to be made, Ross.
Yeah, I think everyone was kind of expecting them all to be fired, or maybe not Chris Richard, but the other two to just be fired the day after the Cardinals game, and that's to be guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure it works like that, though.
No, I don't think it works like that.
Pete likes to take his time. He's fired, what, one coach in his entire tenure in Seattle? Yeah. So
two, technically. He fired Sherm last week.
Yes, which, looking back on it, could have been a mistake, because our running game was all right. It's got worse this year. So a change isn't always the best thing that you can do.
Yeah, but then other times, like the Rams showed and the Saints have shown, they fired their three longest serving coaches under Sean Payton last year, and now they're, 20 minutes away from the divisional playoff game after winning their division for the first time in a few years. So it's all or nothing thing, but do you think it's going to come? Do you think there's going to be change? I mean, Cable seems the likelier one to depart, stage left, doesn't he?
Yeah, I do. I think we're not a team to rush. Okay, so if we were expecting fireworks from day one, you know, we're not you know, the Browns, we're not the Bengals, but you know, we're not, it's not a panic stations. Well, no one's panicking.
Well, the Bengals did it the other way around. They rehired the coach who said he wanted to leave.
Indeed. But what I mean is we don't panic. We're not in a situation where, you know, at VMAX suddenly, you know, papers are flying out the window and everything's, you know, up in the air. This is a team that does things in a slow sort of procedural way. There'll be people evaluating performance right now, and there'll be decisions. I suppose, if anything, our main aim was to make sure that, you know, if that was what they're doing, is to keep John. They've done that, tick. The next question is whether or not, you know, should Tom Cable go, Chris Richard, whatever. Opportunities have to present themselves first for those gentlemen to want to move on. I think some of those have. With Raiders, with Chucky getting a $100 million 10-year deal, whatever. Right. I think there are opportunities, you know, for them. I would personally like to see Tom Cable move on to better things. How I say that is a really nice way of saying.
Yeah.
I would like to see him gone, but move on to a brighter and better future, and then we can bring somebody in to do other things. But I think, you know, this isn't a team that's going to do it on day one. It's going to take a while, and then, you know, it'll probably come through at 3:30 in the morning, make my mobile phone go off really loudly and wake me up, and I should be like, oh, Tom Cable's gone. Good.
Yeah, there's always hope. I think hoping he moves on to better things. I think it's more case hoping he moves on so we can move on to better things is probably the better way to
put it. However you want to say it, Stu.
Because I've had enough of him, to be honest. There's been obviously a few people caught by a fake tweet going around by Bob Condotta with one T. Quite a few people. if you really think he's going to be back in Oakland with John Gruden, then you need to go and read how that relationship ended, with all the punching out his assistant and all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't think he will be going back to Oakland or Las Vegas anytime soon with Chucky and the wig in charge.
Wig.
In wherever they play on the West Coast. But yeah, anything else for the 2017 season, 2018 free agency docket, guys? Anything, any other subjects you want to cover for the Seahawks?
Well, no, the only thing I'd say is kickers wise, we've got to get that sorted out.
Oh, I was going to leave that alone. I think.
Were you?
I think as Gordon Wright says, can we not mention that name anymore? I think that's. Dave Chappelle in his new comedy special said Hillary Clinton was like Martin Luther King, was what you'd expect when you have Darth Vader giving the "I Have a Dream" speech. It's kind of like that with Blair Walsh. We kind of expect that with him as well. I'm bored of talking. Blair Walsh cannot be. They already made the move to give Jason Myers a futures contract. And if you go and look at Jason Myers' 2017 stats, it's great, somehow worse.
I was going to say it's worse.
Blair Walsh. So it's a bold approach, and you'd expect that they're going to at least. The name to watch is Kairos Santos, who I'm not too sure where he entered this year. Then obviously this draft, I've no idea about college kickers. I thought Roberto Aguayo was a good kicker. So not second round good, but I thought he was a good kicker. Yeah. He's out of the league already. Draft, we're going to try and get back together over the next few weeks, the next few days as well. We're trying to work on a guest to come on and talk some NFL UK. Rumours going around that the 2018 NFL International Series games are going to be announced on Thursday, and it appears that the Philadelphia Eagles are one of the teams. So there is hope that the NFL UK kill two birds with one 2018-shaped stone. So if anything happens with that, we will probably podcast and talk over all of that. Do you expect a London game for the Seahawks this year, Matt?
Oh, I hope not. I hope they get rid of the whole international series. I hate it. Keep it in the States. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the London games. I'm not a fan of this whole talk of London franchises. I'm not a fan of all of that nonsense.
No, I don't. I'm okay with a couple of games. I don't want a team.
Bring a Pro Bowl over. Bring something that doesn't matter over. Yeah, but don't, I hate the idea of messing around with seasons and that sort of stuff. They're only doing it for money anyway, and that gives me an even. You know, lesser good feel about it. Bring back the Euro Bowl or whatever. You know, bring back
Europe.
Bring back the Euro League. Let's do that then. But let's not mess around with NFL too much. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, but you'd be there if the Seahawks come, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Cheaper than flying to Seattle.
Well, not if you get the train from the north of England. But never mind. Russ, do you think we'll see the Seahawks on that list? I don't think we
probably
will.
Probably not. No. From what I've heard and read before, that we're fighting tooth and nail we did not want to come to England to play a game, and you can't really blame them. It's as far away as possible to go.
From what I heard and was told in New York, it's from people having conversations with certain people high up in the Seahawks front office, that legitimately could be a thing where the people at the very top are split, where the people who deal with the players on a daily basis don't want to come, but the people counting the figures and counting the checks and cashing the checks do want to. As Matt said, it is just a money making exercise. They saw an open market to make money and make the most of. And to be fair to them, Goodell and that are doing that, and they're doing that pretty.
Don't get me wrong, everyone who's listening, because I know not everyone can afford to get up and go to the States and watch a football game and all that sort of stuff. So I understand that it makes it more accessible for everyone to go and watch a team. However, you know, A, you're not watching the Seahawks, so quite clearly you're not watching a premium product half the time anyway. you've got the Jacksonville Jaguars here, wonderful, you know, all that sort of stuff. But so it has made it accessible, but it is impacting upon results in, you know, a league in a foreign land, if you like. And I think that's not the way, you know, American football should be. American football should be a level playing field of these teams who are playing. It's not fair that we get to say no, to be honest, because if every other team has had to have a year affected or impacted by coming over here, then so should we, to be fair. But I think it would be much better to take something like an exhibition game like the Pro Bowl, something that doesn't matter, and play it in London so that people can come and see players from all sorts of different teams, not just the Jacksonville Jaguars or whoever, and see it that way. But I'm just not a fan of it. If it's just about money, then it's really quite a shallow and not a particularly good thing in my eyes.
Yeah, and also with the Pro Bowl, I'd probably say that most NFL players would rather go to London than Orlando, wouldn't they, this year, or wherever the game is this year? I mean, it's not exactly in the most I mean, they can go to Orlando any time of the year. They don't get a chance to come to London. I mean, there's a Timmy Jernigan, who plays for Ravens, played college at Florida State, didn't see snow till he was 24. I mean, so that's just kind of what you kind of, if you bought the Pro Bowl to London, you're going to reap the benefits from it, which is nothing more now than a sideshow, Ross.
Yeah, exactly. I've never been to Wembley game or a London game. They don't particularly interest me. Maybe it's because there's no Seahawks there, but I don't want to go and watch a team that I don't support play. So that's kind of it
I mean, I went up until about the last game I went to was San Francisco, Denver, I think.
Yeah. But that's Seahawks rivals, isn't it?
When Troy Smith played quarterback for the 49ers. That's how long ago it was.
Well, I went to the first one. I went to the Giants v Dolphins, and it was a great experience. You know? It was an amazing, amazing experience. But you know, after that, people always say to me, "Well, will you go to London?" I don't want to watch the Browns play the whoever. It's like watching Darlington FC play. I mean, what do I care about what these teams are doing, these AFC or whatever? So no, it's a money making scam. Stay clear, peeps. And the ticket prices, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, hello. Hello.
Yeah. I mean. Obviously, as Matt said, not everyone's in a position to go to the States or go to America, go to New York, go to East Coast, go to Seattle. But now I've had the chance and been bitten by the bug, it is definitely where I'd rather spend train fare and hotel money is doing that in a hostel in Seattle, New York, or wherever. So, yeah, there is a lot of that to why I haven't been going the last few years. But, yeah, games will be announced on Thursday. I'm sure it will be all pomp and circumstance on NFL UK and all the rest. And I'm sure people will be Seahawks fans on the group will probably be left disappointed. But you never know, I guess. There's always a chance. Looking at the schedule, though, 2018 does not look like it's going to be an easy ride again. The AFC West and NFC
North.
North, it's not exactly what you need when you're in like a transition year, is it, Matt?
Well, I don't know if you're gonna cut your teeth in any season, you may as well do it in this one. It's gonna be an interesting one. The home game set is just horrific. I just don't want to do any of these. I don't want to. You know, you've got the who's playing? You've got the Cowboys are coming, the Packers are coming, the Broncos. Vikings are coming, and they're playing. You know, amazing. So the only one I'm really looking forward to at the moment is San Francisco, just because hopefully that one should be an in the bag type of job. But when you're playing 4-4 this year, what we were at home,
five hundred,
you know, when that's not a good sign for next year, people. So get your tickets in. The only good thing is
prices are going to come down.
That's it. If you go and get a really bad, then the ticket prices will come down. This year
which after the Buffalo ticket cost me what it cost me, I'll be all for that, to be quite honest. that was quite a hard thing to do. That early, get handed over that much money that early on a Monday morning was not a pleasant experience. So I'll be all for slightly cheaper tickets. Where can people? Obviously, Matt is on the podcast. Not only for his strong opinions, but also because he was the first guy to do the £12 Patreon thing. Where can people go and join Matt and, like Matt, join us on the podcast over the off-season? Ross?
You can go to www.patreon.com/thepedestrianpodcast, and there's various different levels and stuff there. We are working on getting some new reward gifts, I suppose, out to people. You get a choice of a fridge magnet or a bumper sticker at the minute. We've kind of got a little poll going for that. Fridge magnets are winning because everyone has a fridge magnet currently. But there's various different tiers you can back us on there. You can find us on Twitter at Seahawkers UK, and you can find us on Facebook in the UK Seattle Seahawks fans page. And if you get us on iTunes, then leave us a 5-star rate and review, because that would help massively. No one's reviewed us since 2016. Come on, people, it's 2018. Give us just one of you listening. Give me a review for us to read out next week, please.
Yeah, Matt, where can people catch your voice and heard on different avenues and social media and all the rest of it?
Well, you can certainly catch up with me on the 12-Man Fan Jam Show. We're a bit like, we are a sort of vodcast. We're on YouTube. We're not a podcast in that sense, but we're sort of a Saturday Night Live version, a cheap economy version of Saturday Night Live, talking about Seahawks football and NFL in general. So you can catch us on the 12-Man Fan Jam Show on YouTube, on Seahawk Positivity. Have a look for that. If you want to catch me on Twitter, I'm at Matt War, and glad to catch up with you guys. It's been great.
Yeah. Massive thanks for joining us on Patreon. Are you paid up and booked for Bristol as well, aren't you?
Bristol should be fine. I can't do Leeds for the AGM, so I'm not going to be there for Leeds. I'm going down to Kingston and meet up with Nick and the others down at the Willoughby for the sort of spiritual home of the Seahawks for the Super Bowl party. So I'm down there for that. But I should be across for Bristol. Do you know what? Getting across to Bristol is actually more expensive than getting to Seattle at the moment. So I have to work, I'm going to have to work out the logistics of this one. I'm going to have to hitch a ride in a lorry or something.
Yeah. It is looking expensive. The train prices when I looked 2 days ago brought back absolutely nothing. So I'm hoping that they haven't just completely cut off the Cov to Bristol pipeline. But yeah, we'll soon find out, I'm sure. And if you think life is unfair, the New England Patriots are going to face the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs next week. So things do happen to the bad people for... Good things do happen to bad people all of the time. But yeah, if you want to catch us, you can on all the Patreon stuff, as Ross just noted, on iTunes, the Patreon podcast, on Twitter at Seahawkers UK. The website for the chapter is ukseahawkers.com. The Facebook is UK Seattle Seahawks fans. Our personal Twitter accounts at Stu_Core, at RossBell1984. At Adam D. Nathan. Matt, what's your Twitter?
At Matt War.
Okay, and then Instagram as well, at The Pedestrian Podcast. Also, as we just mentioned, the National Meet is happening May 19th, Royal Wedding Day, FA Cup Final Day. But instead of going to London, instead of going to Wembley, instead of standing outside outside Buckingham Palace or whatever random church they're getting married in, come on down to Bristol and have a few beers and win a few prizes and spend a lot of money on a charity raffle. We have managed to sort out some pretty cool merch and gifts from the States, hopefully going to be sent over the next couple of days. So you have tickets, all the information for tickets, £5 a ticket per adult, £3 if you bring in a child with you. And everyone seems to be booking the Mercure Grand Hotel in the centre of Bristol as well. It should be a good weekend. A massive thanks to Martin Opry for sorting it out, as you heard on the podcast a few weeks ago. Until the next time, the 2017 season for the Seattle Seahawks is over. Thankfully, to a certain extent, the 2018 season is just around the corner in the league, which is 24/7, 365. So that means this offseason, the Pedestrian Podcast won't be taking as long a break. We won't be opening ourselves up to criticism and to jabs and jibes by our brethren in Montana. So we will be back in the next coming week. Enjoy the playoffs. Enjoy the Pro Bowl, whatever comes before our next podcast. This has been the Pedestrian Podcast.
Enjoy the playoffs, Rams. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
That is going to do it. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks Super Bowl 48 champions.